When darkness covered the earth, God said, "Let there be light." When the Israelites were lost in the desert night, God illuminated their camp with a pillar of fire. When David was overwhelmed, still he sang, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" When humanity seemed forever lost, the prophets believed God would provide a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. When the wise men were seeking the newly born king, they followed the light of a rising star. And where death had darkened the world, that king, Jesus, cried out, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So this year, as you plug in your Christmas lights, remember, the darkness of death has been banished by the light of the world.
Oh, With that, I would like to simply say, Merry Christmas. It is great to have all of you here, whether here in the room with us or whether worshiping with us tonight on the live stream. It is certainly the night where we remember and we celebrate. He is here, Emmanuel, God with us. I think we have an announcement or two that we want to remind you about before we begin. And I think it's just that the Christmas offering, we are still taking that up. And so if you would like to give while you are here tonight, you can do so. You can grab, just mark really clearly on the envelope if you want to do that tonight, that it's for the Christmas offering. And all the loose offering will go to that as well. And you can use those boxes there at the back of the room. And if you are worshiping online, we do have a drop-down menu for that as well to choose the Christmas offering. And I think that's the only thing that I'm supposed to let you guys know about.
Sounds great to me.
Okay, fantastic.
Good evening. Merry Christmas. Should have started with that one rather than make you do both. But we're going to sing together. We're going to lift our voices singing, O Come All You Faithful. Let's all just stand and raise our voices in worship to our newborn King.
Just us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the
it's time.
We are thankful and reminded that you are Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, we celebrate tonight that you would take upon yourself humanity in order that we might be reconciled, redeemed, set right. We're thankful for your humility, even in the midst of your transcendence and your great power and honor and majesty, yet you chose the lowliest and most humble ways to come into this world to begin to bring us the light of your presence. So tonight we thank you so much for that as we celebrate together with not only our voices, but also our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated.
Good evening. Tonight, we're going to focus on the idea of light. On this Christmas Eve, we celebrate how the light of the world was born on a holy night long ago. But God's gift of light in this world goes back even further than that. In fact, it goes all the way back to the beginning, in the opening verses of the Bible we read. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. When we walk through the valleys of darkness for a day, a week, or even a season of life, the Spirit of God remains with us, hovering over us, never abandoning us. But it is also God's desire to bring light into the darkness. Even in the most challenging of times, God's brightness and goodness can break through. The same God who created the world and everything in it invites us to walk in the glory of the light.
Throughout the story of Scripture, there were many times when it was likely very easy to doubt that God's light was still shining. Abraham, who was called to take a journey to an unknown destination, ran into many trials. Jacob feared for his life and was forced to wrestle with God alone. Joseph spent time in a pit and in a prison. Moses fled Egypt in fear and then was filled with fear again when God asked him to return. The Israelites wandered for years in the wilderness and then were intimidated by obstacles that stood in the way of their promised land. Esther put her life on the line before the king for the sake of her people. David battled a highly trained military giant with a few rocks and a sling. The nation was divided. The temple destroyed. The people were scattered. When we're faced with a challenge or a crisis, the glow of God's light may seem dim and distant. Imagine the long journey that was experienced by the Magi as they sought the Christ child. Without a doubt, this was not an easy journey. The night sky surely wasn't always void of clouds and storms, but they continued pursuing the star in the east that was leading them to a king. His light kept shining, and his light still shines tonight.
It will always glow in the hearts and minds of the wise who know that a king has come and his life defines what his love has won. A light still shines, a light still shines. It will always glow in the hearts and minds of the wise who know that a king has come and his life defines what is love.
Tonight, we celebrate the light that was born in a humble manger. A king has come to redeem all of humanity. And in chapter 8 of John's Gospel, Jesus himself proclaims, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." This invitation to have the light of life is open to anyone who wants to follow Jesus, with no prerequisites or no preconditions. But the story does not end there. Jesus tells his followers in Matthew 5, "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." When we follow Jesus, we reflect his love, grace, hope, joy, and peace to the world around us. That is God's plan for reaching our neighbors and the nations. Followers of Jesus are invited to take the hope we've received and allow it to further light up the darkness, that the glory of God might burn even more brightly.
We hope that the message and the music of these anthems have resonated with you tonight. But now, it's your turn to join us. It's time to take a moment and do exactly what this last refrain described, and let us all fill our voices with his praises. This next song echoes the truth that the light of the world has stepped down into darkness, enabling all of humanity to see the way, the truth, and the life that is Jesus Christ. This medley takes several turns through favorite worship songs and Christmas carols, so it may keep you on your toes. But would you please stand and worship along with the choir as they lead us in this Worship at the Manger medley.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that dateless heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. And here I am. Here I am to find.
Amen. You may be seated.
The choir has one more song to share this evening, an exuberant prayer of praise to our God and sovereign King of Kings. This declaration also includes a petition that the Lord of Light would shine through us, that all may see his mercy and majesty in the lives of his people. We invite you to make the lyrics of this song your prayer tonight.
Glory of the heavens, bright and morning star, the color of your beauty paints the sky. Breaking through the darkness, turn the night to day. You alone illuminate this light. So I sing. I live my life to glorify your name.
You are the light that shines. Great is you, the King. How it is said, the captives free.
So Andy and I were sharing a document in preparation for tonight, notes and changes and revisions. And we got to this part in the document and it said, short message. And I laughed. I don't know if I've ever done a short message in my whole life. I've tried really, really hard. And I told him how funny it was. And the next time I checked the document, that word short was in strangely larger font than the rest of the sentence. And the next time it was in bold. And then after that, it was all caps, short message. So I did the only thing that I knew to do. I just did the strike through and completely ignored it. No, I'm kidding. So we are just sort of building on what we've been looking at the entire Advent season, this idea of passages in Scripture that contrast the light and the darkness as we have journeyed together to tonight when we remember and celebrate Jesus as the light of the world. So tonight we're going to sort of finish that off with just a short devotional about how there is no darkness at all. And we find that line of thinking in John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him, there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and we don't live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all our sin. I was reading that passage in preparation for tonight, and I was taken aback at how passionate John is to describe his very real, very convincing experience with this person, Jesus. He is really excited to talk about his experience of Christ. He is really pumped about his knowledge of Jesus. And that abundance of excitement at knowing someone, of course, led me to a scene in one of my favorite Christmas movies of all time. A movie where Will Ferrell plays Buddy the Elf, and he finds out that Santa's coming, and he explodes with joy. Why? Santa, I know him, right? I think this is the kind of joy we see John opening this letter with. How many times does he say things like, we have heard him? They heard Jesus, of course, preaching to large crowds. They heard Jesus teaching to just their small group. They heard Jesus pronouncing forgiveness and healing and freedom. We have heard him. But not just that. We've looked upon him. We've seen him with our eyes. And I read that this week and I'm like, how else would you see him, John? But he's just so excited. He doesn't care. We've looked upon him and seen him with our very own eyes. And it's not just that. He says, even our hands have touched him. And I think this is more than just the camaraderie of being around each other for 3 years of the ministry of Jesus. I think this is also pointing to that time when a particular disciple said, I'm not going to believe until I can see and touch for myself. And of course, Jesus provided that to him. John saw the life in Jesus, but not just any other ordinary life. He says, we saw in him the eternal life, and it brought us a complete sense of joy. And we want to share that joy with you in the testimony we give you about what we've heard and seen and touched. So what is this message? What is this uncontainable testimony that John has describing this Jesus that they had been with and known and heard and seen? The message is this: God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If you tried to read this in the original Greek and make English out of it, it would be really, really stumbly. Because there's so much what's called intensive in the language. It would essentially read like this: darkness in him, not is none. Which to our ears, we cringe because the English is so bad. But in the original language, it's communicating with force this idea that in him there is no darkness at all. And why would this be so important? I can think of a few reasons. The first one is that some of the gods and goddesses that were maybe competing for people's attention back in John's day, the Greek and the Roman gods and goddesses, they had a few, shall we say, dark spots. They were worshipped not because they were necessarily good, but just because they were powerful. And I started thinking about that and thinking, do we revere people in our lives because they're good or just because they're powerful? But that's a whole nother sermon for another time. This is going to be a short one, so we're going to zoom back in to what's right here in front of us. Zeus is the greatest example. Zeus, if you read some of the mythology of that Greek god, he is always being seduced in one way or another and wandering off and getting himself into trouble. But this God that John talks about, seen in Jesus, there is no darkness at all. It's a pure and perfect light. And I got to thinking about pure and perfect light, and it reminded me of one of the absolute worst parts of every day: turning on that first light in the morning. Everything is still very, very dark, and you flick on that light switch or you hit the lamp, right? And it's one of the worst things, especially nowadays, because it's dark these days from like 4:30 until 10:30 the next morning, pretty much. But you turn on that first light and it's like your eyes are just absolutely struck. They hurt. They literally hurt from a sudden massive intake of light. Do you know why your eyes hurt when you flip the light on? Good. I'm going to tell you because I was curious to find out. It's because when you sleep, your pupils relax because they don't have much to do. They're not filtering any light, so they get lazy, which is helpful if you happen to get out of bed at 3 a.m. and need to take a trip maybe down to the restroom, because you don't need to turn the lights on. You can kind of sort of see everything with just a little glimmer or glint of light here and there. But your lazy pupils are the problem, because when that light flips on, that relaxation becomes pain, because your pupils are very quickly trying to flush a whole bunch of blood there to do the work they need to do with all the light that is coming in, feeling like it's blinding you. And then I thought about that. Is it possible to actually be blinded by light like that? And then I got to thinking, you know, there's that song, "Blinded by the Light." And then I got to thinking, who sings that song? This is where my brain goes. And so I went there, and I mean, it was somebody I'd never, so do you guys know? If you know, okay, I see one hand, two, okay, here and there, you can say it if you want. Oh, okay, some of you are very, very smart. Manfred Mann's Earth Band in 1977. Okay, smarty pantses. Do you know who wrote that song? Yes. Yeah, Bruce Springsteen wrote it in 1973. I thought I had you, but I didn't. So can you be blinded by light like that? Like, obviously, you can be blinded by the sun if you stare at it too long. That's why you're told during an eclipse, don't look up into the sun. But from what I've learned, unless it's like this hugely powerful industrial light bulb, you are not in danger of losing your actual eyesight by flipping on the bathroom light first thing in the morning. You're welcome. So, light, for the most part, is good. It's actually healthy for us. I don't know. What about that? Pitch dark we don't want. Yeah. I know, it hurts, but it won't hurt you, I promise. I did the research. It's science. Yeah, it's science. So, okay. Here's how important light is. Where we live in Northeast Ohio, where the light goes away for months at a time, we sometimes take vitamin D supplements because we are not getting enough of the light. If a child is born and has jaundice, what do? We put the child under a light because there's something about light and God's pure and perfect light in which there is no darkness at all is the kind of light that we need in our lives. And that light changes everything to the point that someone as smart as C.S. Lewis says this: I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. That's the pure, holy, perfect light of God in our lives. So, towards the end of what we read, John says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light. And in the passage, we are given what I think are three positive, desirable outcomes of walking in the light. Here they are. The first one, purification from our own imperfections. This Jesus will purify us. I mean, if you haven't messed up lately, then good for you. But if you're more like me, you have. And you need to be reminded that the pure and perfect and holy light of God will purify us from our own imperfections. But it's also true that we get to have a fellowship with God, not just a purification of imperfections, but an actual fellowship and a relationship with God. But wait, there's more. Because we also get to have fellowship with one another. Somehow this pure and holy and perfect light not only purifies us, not only enables this fellowship with God, but it can begin to bring together those relationships that might be driven apart. And so tonight, that's all I'm really going to ask you as we finish talking about this stepping into the dark, out of the darkness and into the light. Is there one of these three things that you need more than the others tonight? Do you need reminded that God's pure and holy light can burn away all of your imperfections? Do you need reminded that you can actually have fellowship with God because of who Jesus Christ is? Or do you need reminded that not only is it our vertical relationship with God, but it's also our relationship with one another that can be restored because of the pure and holy and perfect light of God? So just take a moment, and if you want to bow your head, close your eyes, whatever helps, to just bring to God whatever's in your heart. Whatever those three things, maybe for you it's two of the three or all three, I don't know. But just take this moment to approach God, the one who is pure and holy and perfect in his light. And I'm going to close that just brief moment of reflection with a word of prayer. Father, tonight we celebrate that you allowed your Son to take upon himself humanity. That the Word became flesh and dwells among us. Tonight we renew our need, our recognition of our need and our desire for your pure and holy light to flood into our darkness. Whether we feel that darkness sort of internally within us or between us and you or between us and others, we invite your pure and holy, perfect light to light up the darkness wherever it might be found. We pray all of this tonight, Jesus, in your name. Amen. So, yeah, we're going to Silent Night at this point. Yeah. So we are going to sing Silent Night, as we typically do, and I'm going to go over here and light the final candle that we have been working toward all Advent long. And a thank you again to those of you who helped participate in reading and lighting our candles. But tonight, we light the final candle, the center candle, the Christ candle, as a celebration and a recognition that the light has come.
And as we sing this, we'll, in just a moment, we'll stand together and we'll share the candle. We'll pass it from that point on back. Just a tidbit about candle lighting technique. If you are not yet lit, you're the one who goes sideways. Yeah. So yeah, you go to the flame, not the other way around. All right. So anyways, I want to invite you to stand as we sing this together and take part in this special tradition. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child.
Blow your candles out. Just three quick reminders. On your way out, there'll be a place to put your candle back into a basket, a bin, something like that. Also, if you have purchased one of these poinsettias and want to take it home with you, you are welcome to do that as you leave tonight. And then just a reminder that if you are still looking for a place to worship on Sunday morning, we will be back here in like 36 hours, whatever it is. I don't math so good, but Sunday morning, we'll be here one service at 9:45 a.m. So, with all of that being said, take this light. Do not hoard it for yourself. Share it with the world. The world is desperately in need of the light, the presence of Jesus. Take it to them. Amen, and go in God's grace.